RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
7 a.m. here on a Saturday. Good morning. It is the Tee to Green Golf Show, our weekly fix for local golf talk here in Western New York. And it's right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Working hard this week.
He's on assignment this
He's
week.
He's on assignment at the Park Club.
Their invitational.
Back in Buffalo has their invitational. So
it's an important day, I think.
It is. So Jeff working hard there, and I know Jeff might have us on in the pro shop there. So, Jeff, good morning. We miss you today, and you're missing out on a good one here as we are live at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, just down the thruway. A kind of a cold, crisp fall day here. It feels like Ryder Cup weather, I'll say, Kevin.
Well, you know, training camps across the street, it feels like an actual game day. Forecast, mid to late September, but that's all right. The sunrise, we got to witness that coming up. We were behind 13 green, the famed 13th hole here at Oak Hill on the East Course. Just a gorgeous place, and look forward to talking about it with a couple special guests today here on the show.
Absolutely. We'll get to those in just 1 second. The show, of course, Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. As we said, we are here at Oak Hill. We're on the beautiful patio overlooking the 18th hole of the East Course. And first joining us is the head golf professional here at Oak Hill, Jason Ballard. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for having us here. This is this place is special, as you know, and as most everybody in Western New York knows, they've come up for most recently the PGA Championship in 2013, the senior PGA that's been here, that will be coming here again. This is the place to see the greats play in Western New York.
Absolutely, and we're so excited to have the PGA Championship back in 2023 as well. You know, it's part of our legacy here to hold major championships. Our membership loves having them here, and I think we have a great track record of producing some great champions here as well.
Yeah, I mean, this place has held nearly everything. Ryder Cup has been here. I mean, that's just, you know, the U.S. Open, the U.S. Amateur, the PGA Championship.
Senior PGA.
We need to move the Open Championship over here, maybe, to have anything else, right? Or Women's U.S. Open, right? Have that.
Women's U.S. Open would be great. You know, the Masters can be tough to get up here.
Yeah, the Masters would be probably the – but, we you know, you came from Augusta National, right?
I did.
So
I did.
Close enough for me.
Yeah, I was there for 6 wonderful years. Great learning experience for me. We're bringing some of the details and the exceeding expectations and all the things that they do great down there, we're trying to bring to Oak Hill. And, you know, I'm very proud of my staff and what we've done in a few short years since I've been here.
Well, coming from Augusta National and now coming to a place like Oak Hill, Jason, I'm sure for anybody listening, they would say, wow, that's two of the best courses in the world that you get a chance to be a part of. So I'm sure you feel fortunate about that. And while there's some similarities, there's some differences, but I know that the history at Augusta speaks for itself, but the history, Kevin mentioned all the events that have been here. So I'm sure as a person that if you're a head golf professional, you've loved golf your whole life, just to know the history of the grounds that you've walked at these two places, it's got to be, I'm sure, something that you don't take for granted.
Absolutely not. You know, driving in Chapin Way every single morning, you kind of have to pinch yourself. It's a reminder of all the hard work and luck, how lucky we've been to work at the places we have. You know, we've held 11 major championships here. We're going to be holding 13 in the next few years. So, again, part of our legacy and tradition. You were talking about number 13 on our East course. Just walking around the Hill of Fame there and seeing the names, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, really kind of get your heart racing a little bit if you're a golf fan.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things, too, I had a chance to play it. Well, no, it was Media Day, Brian, and before the 2013, the plaque over there, McKeel. So,
yes.
You know, if you get a chance to come play the East course sometime, by the way, the West course is no slouch. By the way, the West course is fantastic, too. The East course, where the major championships have been held, there's a plaque there. It's 173 yards. Sean McKeel, 7-iron. Drop a ball, hit a 7-iron, and you'll see, I mean, we all saw the shot, what a great shot it was, but you drop it there, you have that look, and you're like, wow, it's an unbelievable shot that he hit from that distance. And I remember I dropped the ball, I took my 7-iron out, I hit it, it's on the line, and the player goes, well, it's going. I go, no, wait for it, boom, to the bottom of the hill. I go, that's, you know, a ways away. You know, that's how well these guys strike the ball in the PGA Tour, and they hit that shot, you know, with the grandstand behind it. Just incredible. And a great moment. Another great moment. And that's what great courses do. They commemorate it and, you know, the exact spot. And it's just fantastic.
And I noticed, too, Jason, the updated plaque for Jason Duffner's course record. He shot the 63 here. The 64s, I know the plaque stayed out there, which I thought was great because there's some great names on that plaque out there.
Right. Ben Hogan shot that in the 40s. He shot a 64. So anything that has Hogan's name on it, you don't remove from your property, that's for sure.
Sure.
But we can't take away from what Curtis Strange did, too. He tied that record as well. So absolutely.
You mentioned Ben Hogan. Colonial Country Club at Fort Worth, they have his office, you know, they're roped up, but you can kind of walk in the door there in the pro shop. And they have what you guys have done a great job here at Oak Hill is all the history, the old golf clubs that were used to win, everything commemorated about those major championships and the great players that have played here. And I love going through, you're walking through and looking at those and stop and take, just taking a look at, wow, okay. Yeah, a great moment. This photo, that golf club, the trophies, done a great job of capturing the history here at Oak Hill.
Absolutely. We have a great historian's office. It's part of the tour that I give to anyone that wants it. I was fortunate to take Andy North up there last year, and it was neat because he played in the John R. Williams tournament, which we hold every September. I think this is going to be the 50.
And they win? 50. That was him in the photo. Okay,
He won. So we went up there and looked at some old photos, and Andy was very impressed on what we've done and what we've kept. And we're going to continue to put that stuff up on the walls for future generations to see.
What was Andy North's handicap in that event? It had to be zero, right?
I'm sure he was a zero. He's won two majors, so he's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's a marked man when he's in the lineup.
We've got Paul Azinger coming next month for the John R. Williams to speak, so we're excited about that.
Oh, well. Great.
Yeah. Absolutely great. Tee to Green here live at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester. Brian Colziel and Kevin Sylvester and the head golf professional Jason Ballard here from Oak Hill joining us. We'll get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week with Jason here coming up in just a few moments. He's going to talk about what you should do to warm up before your round, but just a couple of other things to talk about with this event. So how about the build-up to these two events that are coming up here? the senior PGA we mentioned in 19, the PGA in 2023. I know that we're going to speak with David Fries in a little bit, the golf chair here, about maybe some of those events, but just your take on it, just the staff's, you know, the excitement build up, and just is there anything in terms of maybe what people might be wanting that might be interesting from behind the scenes in terms of just getting ready for an event like that?
Yeah, sure. So the build out for a senior PGA as far as putting up the observation stands and corporate tents and things like that, you know, it's about 60 days. So there's a lot of activity. I can tell you that the senior PGA staff just moved in last week. So you're talking 2 years out in advance. For a PGA championship, you're looking at maybe 3 years out.
Wow.
So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that happens. I can tell you that on behalf of my staff, but also the rest of the PGA professionals in the Western New York section, we couldn't be more excited to have our championships here. You know, being part of the PGA of America, it's very special to have those two events coming up, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, I've been a part of many major championships, U.S. Open, Masters tournaments, but they're all rewarding when they're done because all the hard work certainly pays off, and it's about the patron and spectator experience.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the hard work because I imagine the workload's maybe not double, but it's certainly more. Like you have a standard for your membership here at Oak Hill. Any club does. They have a standard of a service and course conditions that they want to keep up that the members expect, and rightfully so. I bet it's even more so here because of, well, you got two golf courses, but you also have the Fame Golf Course, the East Course, where the major championships have happened, will happen. So how much daily thought goes into, all right, what are we doing with the golf course today in conjunction with the superintendent and his staff to keep it up in that championship course expectation? Because you mentioned Andy North came here and played, like, you know, prominent guests come here to play, and maybe their only time coming to play, they have an expectation.
Yeah, absolutely, and our job is to exceed those expectations. Our golf course superintendent, Jeff Corcoran, does a fantastic job. He's been here for many years. We're very blessed to have two great golf courses here. The West Course is still ranked in the top 25 in the state, which we're very excited about. But I can tell you that on a daily basis, I mean, you could hold a major championship here. I mean, if we were to go out today, I think the PGA would be very impressed on the daily course conditions. I can tell you that with all the rain we received, the rough is very tough right now.
Yeah.
Similar to what it was in the 08 senior PGA when Jay Haas won. You know, the green speeds are up there. He's rolling the greens as we speak. We're getting ready for our men's invitational. So I know what Jeff is going through right now over in Buffalo area.
Yeah.
So
texted me, by the way, that they got rained out today.
Did they?
Like, we had so much rain overnight, you know. Yeah. But
so they are listening, by the way,
in the
pro show.
They're like, well, we're going through, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. But anyways, I'm sorry.
I understand, you know, on a daily basis, we're going to, even during those major championship years, we're going to hold our club events. You know, our men's invitational is 288 players this next week. We have a tournament called the Foils where we get, 160. Our opening day is 250 strong. So our members expect to continue to hold those events even during championship years. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we accept and we enjoy.
The members have to embrace it too, though, right? I mean,
right.
There's only a select few clubs that get to host a PGA championship.
Well, I agree with you, Kevin, a lot. It's not just our membership. It's the entire community that embrace it. The economic impact to the community, but also the charity and what we give back, that's very important to the club. We do a lot of things throughout the year to give back to the community, because I feel that as the head golf professional, it's important to any club to give back. So, they embrace it, and the staff embraces it as well.
Tee to Green live here at Oak Hill Country Club. Jason Ballard, the head golf professional from Oak Hill, with us here. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester on WGR. Hope you're enjoying our coverage here today as we make the trip east down the thruway from Buffalo to Rochester to one of the most famous golf courses in the world. How about before we get to our tip of the week here, just a couple of thoughts on what we've been seeing from Jordan Spieth lately. I know he's playing quite well, although he didn't have a very strong finish yesterday to his second round at Firestone in Akron, but he's there. But what he did at the Open Championship, what may happen at the PGA next week, I know the build-up to that at Quail Hollow, Jason's going to be about him going to be the youngest person ever to have the Grand Slam.
Yeah, you know, Jordan's a special guy. we're very fortunate here to have Gavin Hall as a member here, and he tells us a lot of Jordan stories that they're, you know, both at Texas for a time, and I've spent a little time with Jordan at the Masters, and I can tell you he's as down to earth as they come. You know, so I'm hoping he pulls it off, but in a way I'm hoping maybe he waits to 23 and does it here at
there you go. Too.
So I'm sure he's going to get it done before then, but that would be a kind of a nice story for us. Amazing talent.
Yeah. He, even though he hasn't, you know, said he didn't have a great finish the second round yesterday, that shot he hit on Thursday, the escape shot, was incredible. And he said, I'm going to try something stupid here. You know, he's got that Tiger brilliance when it comes to scrambling. Am I wrong? I mean, it's probably unfair to Jordan for me to say that, but some of the escapes he makes are Tiger-esque, aren't they?
Absolutely, and it all comes down to really a short game. I mean, I think we all know that his short game's better than most of the players at this point. You know, maybe once in a while he gets a little wild with his driver, but you know, when you putt as well as he does, you can make up for those mistakes. And we shouldn't take anything away from his caddy and how much that relationship means to him. I think his caddy is probably one of the best out there, and they work well as a team.
Many people were speculating last year when he was sort of struggling.
The Masters collapse.
Right, yeah, like, oh, he's going to get rid of Michael Greller, and I'm with this guy, and stood by him when there was a lot of scuttlebutt about it, and you know, it was the right move, especially in a year when we've seen some high-profile breakups here, and he stuck with them, and it's paid off. It certainly paid off for Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, Mickelson with a new caddy, now McIlroy with a new caddy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and you know, there's not a ton of caddies that are known by golf fans, but the group that we mentioned, everybody knows those names, so that is some big breakups there too. I mean, the caddy player relationship for some is extremely important. For others, they might say it not as much, but obviously for someone like Spieth, he really values that. He's gone out of his way. He uses the word we every time he's up there with some of his acceptance speeches when
sure.
he wins.
Well, he knows it's a team. Favorite hole here?
Yeah, for me, probably one of the best holes on the entire property. We never talk about because it's on the West course, but number 13 on the West is a par 4. Classic Donald Ross and maybe 13 on the East, too. So, you know, kind of similarities there. But 13 on the East, tough par 5. Probably the toughest layup shot out here.
Yes. you're correct.
Yeah. Everything runs to the left and the left rough, and then you get blocked out by the trees. But pretty spectacular hole. You know, 600 yards. What else are you going to say about that?
Absolutely. I know Jack Nicklaus had said that the ninth, the one that doglegs right up the hill, he said not only is one of his favorite, but he thinks it's one of the toughest par fours in the country. He just said that, you know, that one to me. And, of course, depending upon the speed of the green coming up here, shooting up at it, I mean, that's a really challenging hole. And, you know, I can see why Nicklaus said what he said about it.
Yeah, the ninth, yeah, if you're anywhere on that right side, even the fairway, if you're on the right, you have to hit a massive cut.
Correct, and keep it low.
Yeah, to find the green, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a great point.
And the sixth hole, the sixth the par three?
Yes.
That's where I believe at the U.S. Open they had hole-in-ones, and it was either back-to-back groups or
that hole's changed over the years, too.
Yeah.
It has. We had four hole-in-ones
that day.
There we
go. Okay, thank you for correcting me on
that's
that.
Okay.
Four, yes.
I can tell you that the membership has voted rather unanimously to do a restoration project of the East Course that will take place after the Senior PGA in 19. So that hole will change again, and we're excited about those changes coming up.
Can you give us a little preview?
Yeah, give us a little hint of what's going to happen there.
So that hole would actually go away, and what is five now, which is a shorter par four on the golf course. You hit over a creek.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of keep it left of the fairway, and it goes across that creek. Yep.
Right. That will go back to more of its original Donald Ross design. It'll become a 500-yard par four.
Wow.
So much tougher second shot with the creek on the left. You know, you'll be hitting a 200-yard shot as opposed to a 120-yard
shot. So six green will become five green?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, and then what is number four now, the par five? You'll play a par 3, which is at the corner of the property when you come in Chapin Way.
It's a chipping area right now.
Correct.
Right?
And that will come into play. So it'll go par 5, par 3, par 4. So that stretch of holes, if you count what will be number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that stretch of par 4s in a row is going to be very challenging
wow.
for the guys.
So the routing, you go par 4, par 4, 1, 2, par 3 on 3.
Par 5.
Five. Along the back there.
4 will be a par 5.
Correct.
5 will be a par 3. 6 will be that long par 4.
Par 4, yes.
Okay.
And we've got the original Donald Ross drawings. And at one point, that hole, I believe, you know, back in the 70s, was ranked in the top 100 in the U.S., as is. So we're excited to get that back.
The discussion that I'm curious to have that you obviously have had with members of, okay, this is highly touted as one of the best courses in the world. Like, why would you mess with it? I guess this, maybe somebody is listening saying, why would you mess with it? So can you maybe take me through just some of the thought process there? I mean, there have been a lot of restorations. Oakmont has done some work on that. There's some other courses that have gone back to
original
designs,
right?
And things like that. Was that really something that pushed over? Is that other kind of maybe well-known clubs have done that? Or just what were some of the thought process you've heard from members in terms of their ended up voting in the way that they did?
Well, I think a couple things. It's certainly a trend in the business right now. Number two, and probably the most important, is that our greens in bunkers had to be redone anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that we had to do all 18 greens, we started looking at a few holes that maybe we've lost kind of the Donald Ross characteristics on those holes, and we're going to bring those back. So, you know, you're right about Oakmont. I was just actually there with a group of our members. Great spot. But I can tell you that this course will never become an Oakmont. You know, our trees are part of our legacy and the toughness of the golf course.
Thank you for saying that.
Where their greens, are their what is the most challenging for their members. So, you know, while we may remove a few trees just for sunlight and other issues like that, I mean, you'll never see Oak Hill as an Oakmont and treeless.
Yeah,
that's great to hear.
It's Oak Hill. It should have oak, the trees.
But you know what? These great golf courses in America, they do make changes. You do have to maintain bunker maintenance. Has to occur. They erode over time, and there has to be some maintenance with that. And the golf course we're going to see next week at the PGA Championship, Quail Hollow, I'm sure you've been there. I've played it. It is an amazing golf course, yet
they changed it.
They changed it for, you know, made some renovations that they felt they could make the golf course better, which, you know, to the naked eye or amateur eye, from, you know, like, well, how could you make this place better? It's amazing. But there's certain things they wanted for competitive reasons and for maintenance reasons and such that they needed to do, and we'll see it next week at the PGA Championship.
Absolutely. One thing that we try to do here at Oak Hill is never rest on our laurels. And we're trying to lead by creating a culture of continuous improvement. I love that term, something we use at Augusta National when I was there. And it always means trying to get better every single year, whatever area you're talking about. But it could be service, it could be the golf course, it could be the clubhouse. So, you know, culture of continuous improvement, I love that.
Jason Ballard, head golf professional here at Oak Hill, with us on Tee to Green. We're live at Oak Hill, and just a few moments left here with Jason. Let's get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. It's brought to you by the Western New York PGA, growing a giving game. And Jason's going to talk a little bit about warm-up and the do's and don'ts, and something that probably maybe people don't take as seriously as they should, Jason, warming up before you play around.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's a difference between warming up and practice. A lot of times we'll see members or guests, you know, pull in and go straight to the first tee. I've had to do that right from the golf shop to the first tee. But, you know, one thing, you got to get your body ready, right? So we have a fitness area. It's always good to do a little stretching. But one thing I would say, especially this year, we're talking about how wet it has been out here, is, you know, get a feel for the rough before you go out to play. So throw some balls in the heaviest grass that you can find, either on the practice tee or around the short game area. You know, get in the bunkers. The bunkers change as we get moisture and we lose moisture. So hit bunker shots. You know, not too many people warm up and actually hit bunker shots. Very few, I'd say.
Because we never think we're going to hit it in the bunker.
Correct, right?
Well, if I practice over here, I'll never be there.
That's right. That's a great point.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is, again, we're talking the difference between warm-up and practice, is when you're on the putting green. You know, I see a lot of people throw down 7-footers and, you know, miss, make. You know, you're not creating a culture of kind of you're not really creating something that's going to allow you to succeed if you keep missing putts. So what I like to do with my students is have them putt really long putts before they go out to play, just to get a feel of the speed, and then really short putts so they can hear the ball go in the hole. Practice those seven-footers when you're actually practicing, not when you're out warming up, because you just want to hear the ball go in the hole. I think on the PGA Tour, you know, I think PGA Tour players only make about half of the seven-footers they look at anyway. So
that's correct.
You know, yeah. So anyways, really short putts, really long putts, not so much in between, and then go out and have fun on the golf course.
Good advice.
Great.
Hearing that ball rattle at the bottom is...
It is.
No sweeter sound, right?
That's a great feeling, no doubt. Our West
Unless it's for a double bogey.
That's right. Our West New York PGA tip of the week again. Jason there on warming up. Brought to you by the West New York PGA, growing and giving game. You can check out all the information, all the great things that the West New York PGA does at their website, WNYPGA.com. If you have your son or daughter that wants, you want them to get involved in golf, that's a great place to look there. Or no matter what age, what gender, no matter what experience you have, if you just want to start up golf, or you've been saying, you know what, I feel like I want to start this year, you can go to that website. Lots of places that's close to your home. You can go see your local PGA professional, and they can get you started in the right direction.
Get them started young. Gavin Hall out of here in Rochester. Will Thompson, also a great young player.
We spoke with Will Thompson at the Porter Cup at Niagara Falls Country Club a few weeks ago. He's been playing in the Porter Cup 4 years from age 12.
Right.
And Hall, again, was in the final group at the Porter Cup. He had another chance to win. He's had... a very storied career at that Porter Cup.
It's his U.S. Open for Phil. Yeah, it's his U.S.
Yes,
Open.
But he's been there. And,
it's all right. He's going to be on to bigger and better things here soon.
And the Porter Cuppers and all the members at Niagara Falls love Gavin Hall.
Yeah.
This was one of the favorites of all time, no doubt.
Classy competitor.
No doubt.
Sure.
That's great.
Jason, thanks so much for having us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you,
Brian.
Thank you,
Kevin. Awesome. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Jason Ballard, head golf professional here at Oak Hill. We'll step aside on tee to green, take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll speak with the golf chair here at Oak Hill, and that is David Freese. More on all the great stuff coming up here, the events, the course, the history, Kevin and I's thoughts, and other things along the way. Tee to green live at Oak Hill. Back with more in a moment here on WGR. 7:30, welcome back. Tee to green live on location, a little east of where our normal location is in the Buffalo area. Today we are in Rochester at the famous Oak Hill Country Club. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PJ Pro Jeff Metis working hard back at his Invitational at the Park Club, although we hear it's raining.
It's rain out, so he's hardly worked. No, I'm kidding, so, Jeff. I'm just teasing there, buddy.
That's right. So, Jeff, we miss you today. Our view today is very good. We're on the patio here overlooking the 18th green on the East Course, and the sun is out here in Rochester. So thanks, last segment, to Jason Ballard, the head golf professional, for joining us, giving you our insight on his insight on the course and his Western New York PGA tip of the week on warming up. If you missed that, or if you're just joining us here on the show, we'll have it all up on our option a little bit later this morning at WGR550.com. With us now, though, David Freese, golf chair here at Oak Hill. He joins us now for his thoughts on some of the events coming up here at Oak Hill, as well as our fun in terms of talking about the course history here. David, good morning.
Good morning.
I've learned, by the way, all Freezes are good golfers because, you know, we Tim Freese, a professional at Transit Valley. And
who's been on our show from time to time?
I just won the section championship again, right?
That's
and,
right.
You know, I see David's name on plaques here, so...
One club championship.
I'm going to change my last name to Freese.
That's
so,
right.
And hope my game gets better. No, but thanks for having us here. Great to have
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Well, we Kevin and I had said, the two of us, that our long-winded to start, that we could talk by ourselves all day about just the great events and the history and our memories of watching the pros here and us playing the holes here, but... we want to hear it from you, too. Just the long list of things that have been here, U.S. Opens and PGAs and senior PGAs and Ryder Cups and amateur events and all that sort of stuff. And there's more to come now here, David. I'm sure that
more
you, along
come.
With the members, are super excited about that.
Yeah, we're very excited to host the 2019 Senior PGA Championship. We had it back in 2008 when Jay Haas was victorious and a very popular winner here. He was friends with the Harmon family, and Craig was our pro at the time. And for Jay, it was an opportunity for vindication. He stood on that 72nd hole with Bernard Langer, and it brought back some memories in 95 when he'll tell you, honestly, that it might have been the worst tee shot he's ever hit in competition. Was his tee shot on 18 in the Ryder Cup in 95. And then he had an opportunity, had a lead, and he piped it right down the middle and then hit a six iron in the middle of the green and ended up winning that. And I, I know for him it was very personally satisfying, and for the membership it was great to have a name like that go up on the wall. And so we're excited to have those guys back. And when you know it, Longer's still playing and still winning these championships.
Right. Longer wins every week. He won again last week at the Open. I know the Senior Open. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Longer, you mentioned Haas, and then I know, Kevin, we were talking before the show. You were here. You saw Sergio as an amateur.
Yes.
Young teenager. Kuchar was a young amateur. And we, of course, saw Kuchar almost beat out Spieth at the Open this year. And the other names that have performed here so well. I mean, almost everyone that's performing now in terms of a big name on the PGA Tour was here back in 2013. And
the two that I figured right now, Spieth and Day.
Spieth and Day.
Yep. Spieth and Day haven't, you know, played here in a big competition.
So they'll be back. But, you know, yeah. You mentioned Kuchar and Sergio. So they played in the quarterfinals on that Friday in the U.S. Amateur. And they were all square coming to our fifth hole. And they both had 12 to 14-foot putts downhill, side hill. And here you got, you know, Matt's the defending U.S. Amateur champion. He's played in the Masters. He's got that story with his father on the bag, and they're winning left and right every amateur event. And they just sort of look at each other and go, I don't want to put this one. And Sergio goes, I don't want to put this one either. And they just walk right on to the next hole. Sergio ended up winning the match and then lost in the semis. But it was great having both those guys here.
Who did Sergio lose in the semis? So I came for that match.
I think he lost to McKnight.
Yes, that's correct. Tom McKnight.
Yeah, who ended up losing then to Hank Keeney.
Yes,
in the finals.
I remember my now wife, she was my then girlfriend, we were walking, and she speaks Spanish, right? And I said, what are they saying? You know, because Sergio's dad was on the bag. She's like, well, what do you think they're saying? They're talking about whether to hit a six iron or, you know, something else. Like, what do you think they're saying? They're talking about golf. I'm like, well, we all want to know. Yeah. And so she would interpret. There's like the gallery. She was interpreting right. For the gallery. What's going right. on? It was pretty cool.
No ropes back then. You could just sort of, you know, U.S. amateurs, you can just sort of walk around and be right with the players. And it's a really neat experience. I think someday down the road that'd be something we'd love to consider having back as we look at the landscape. You know, 19 with the senior PGA. And then right after that, so that ends Memorial Day weekend of 19, and then August 1st of 19, we start the restoration project here on the East Course and change three holes fundamentally. And every hole is going to have the greens and green surrounds and bunkering all redone to allow for more hole locations to account for the green speeds here in 2019. And preserve the health of the grass. We've done a lot of tree removal here over the last few years to open things up and to allow mornings like this. In the past, you'd have had six of our 18 greens bathed in shade, and now there's hardly a one. So that's been a big emphasis to the health of the turf, to get the air into the ground. So the look of the place is a little different. I think even those guys, when they come back in a couple of years, will notice some differences. But then certainly after that, it's going to be fundamentally changed. And I know the membership's very excited about that.
The balancing act of, you know, this is Oak Hill. We expect the trees, and members for a long time have played it this way. But also, of course, the lure of restoring it to maybe the way it was originally intended to be.
Yeah, the trees weren't 100 feet tall or 200
feet
tall, right,
so,
back in the day.
I mean, conversation with other members about this, and obviously you held a vote, and I'm sure this wasn't just a five-minute meeting, okay, we're out of here sort of thing.
It's been probably a 2 to 3 year process in terms of going back and interviewing several potential architectural candidates and consultants, ultimately deciding on Andrew Green with some help from Jeff Sluman.
That's a good name in his area.
And
people
Jeff,
get on board with
Jeff,
that.
Jeff gets inducted into our Hill of Fame on Tuesday, August 15th, so that's a big day coming up for us here at the club. And, you know, once he was identified, then going through a master plan and having him look at it, not necessarily, and he'll be the first to tell you this, not necessarily calling this an Andrew Green project, but just putting Ross's name back on the club. And what can we do to get it back and more approximate the things that he was trying to do and the things that he emphasized as an architect? And so that's a big part of the project. When we go out and look at some of our greens right now, the hole locations are very, very minimal because of green bunker encroachment, the sand buildup over the years, and these greens get pinched. And you have these little tiny ravines where when you have the greens up to tournament speeds, there's just one sort of little area right up the middle where you can put these hole locations. And trying to make it more enjoyable day in and day out, so you have some variety. We think the changes to 5, 6, and 15 are going to make it a lot more fun for the members and bring back more of the diagonal hazard that Ross seemed to favor for our new 6th hole. And the new 15th, you know, right now is a 3, a 5, or a 7 for a lot of the memberships. And there's not much in between. And trying to, again, make that more fun day in and day out while still be a very challenging hole for the best players in the world.
15.
Yep.
If I had to guess what you're going to do, that front bunker, is that going to be removed?
Yes. Yeah, so with 15,
you could run it up or play it short?
I think the biggest change on 15 is going to be the removal of the pond. So we can look
out. Oh, really? Okay.
Our vantage point here, that pond is going to go. And it's going to be set up a little higher on the hill. Mm-hmm. And the bunkering is going to wrap around front and left. And there's going to be a sharp fall off, grass fall off on the right. So if you miss it right, it's going to fall off another 8, 12 feet. It's going to be a difficult chip shot, but it's not going to be in the water. And if you do hit it left, you'll be in the sand. But again, you won't be facing water. And if you just miss it, the green right now rolls straight into that pond. And mm-hmm. so that's going to change. That's the hard part. If you miss it right, it's a 5. If you miss it left, it's oftentimes worse because the next shot goes in the water. Sure. And then you're left with more possibilities.
You mentioned fall off. It's not going to be like the 6th hole at CCB in Buffalo.
No, it's not. It's not going to be that, which is a spectacular
yes,
hole.
It's a great,
it's
great golf hole.
Spectacular. We're not attempting to replicate that.
Okay. That's a Ross design, right?
It is. Yes. And Ross took that ravine there and the stonework, and he worked magic in around that area. And
that hole's brilliant. It really is.
It is. And you stand on that. It just, you come off 5, and all of a sudden you make that right turn, and you look at this, and you go, whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay.
Well,
I see
it's
why
sort
everybody
of like,
wakes up to play this place.
Well, you come off 14 green here on the East Course, and you look at you that tee box right there on the other side of the green, and you look down, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it just beats you. You've already been beaten up
yep.
12 to 14 times probably, and then you look at that, and it can be a round killer. But it's I think most people are really excited about that one, just that it's going to offer more possibilities and give day in and day out the membership a little more chance to play without mm-hmm. having that round spoiled close to the end when you got. But you know you still have to hit a good shot. It's still going to be a small target. There still can be trouble whether it's in the bunker or whether it's right off the ledge. But it'll be a different hole.
Yep.
And again, allow for many more possibilities now in terms of hole locations, where right now, because of the way it's so sloped into that pond area, it's a difficult one, especially for tournament speeds.
Well, exciting times here, no doubt. I'm sure the members have to be excited about the events coming, the changes, the course restoration. So it's a fun time. We're excited to be here today talking about it. And now with the senior PGA 19, then the renovations, and then the
promise of a PGA championship in 23, right? So we still hold on to that and look forward to all that's coming up here. And it's been a lot of history, like you mentioned. It's been a lot of fun. My first experience out here, I was a kid who grew up playing Durand Eastman, which is a municipal course in town, and the final day of the 84 Senior Open was here, and I told my parents, you know, I think I'd like to go check that out. And I got two buddies, and walking from the practice green here to the first tee, Arnold Palmer takes the hat off my head. He says, "Do you play golf?" I said, "Not really." And he said, "Well, you know, you should take that up. You should have some fun with it." And the next day, wouldn't you know, I mean, I start playing cool. more and more and keep coming back here for all the events, and ended up joining after leaving Buffalo for medical school in 2001. So
awesome. Did he give you the thumbs up, too?
He gave me the thumbs up.
Yeah, nice.
Unfortunately, I couldn't root him on to victory. He came in second that day, but it was still a remarkable experience, and it's what got me into this and got me working here as a caddy later for the 89 Open, caddying in the bag room, and then ultimately joined later on. But it's a wonderful, special place. Still get excited driving that Chapin Way coming in every day and get goosebumps thinking about it. So
it's a great drive up, no doubt. Well, Dave, thanks so much for coming on. I got your glove and your back, your shoulder.
Yeah, I think
so I know
I'm ready to go.
You're
here.
Ready to go. We don't want to keep you from your round. So hit them well today. Thanks again
for
coming
on. Thank you guys both.
David Freese, golf chair here at Oak Hill, with some great insight on the course and some of the upcoming changes coming here.
What a great story about Arnold Palmer, huh?
That is sweet.
That's awesome.
That really is. It's not. I thought my story was cool with Rory, but that's better.
Yeah. No. I've told you, I met Arnie once.
Yeah, you said at Briarwood, right?
Well, and avid listeners to the station remember the coach, Chuck Dickerson, who just had a birthday this week. So happy birthday, Coach. And he interviewed Arnold Palmer when his group just added Briarwood to the portfolio, and he came into tour, and he played with some members. And matter of fact, Lou Biltier from Chefs was at the time a sheriff, and he was one of the you know, on the detail. So he had this great picture of him and Arnold. And I, as a young young intrepid reporter,
the picture you showed me of him, you were
so
young.
I had to pour Chuck Dickerson in my two-door coupe and drive him out to Briarwood and to interview Arnold Palmer, and I was operate the tape deck, you know, back in the day, and I'm like, this is great, and Chuck did a great thing. He said, Mr. Palmer, before we start, I want you to meet my colleague Kevin Sylvester. Kevin, how are you? You know, nice to meet. Shook my hand, and then we got done. He goes, hey, good luck to you, Kevin. I'm like, oh, thank you, Mr. Palmer. Like, and that photo, and Bill Wippert. When Arnie passed away, I wrote a little thing on Facebook and on Twitter, and Bill Wippert went through and he found the photo from that day. He was taking photos. Wow. He had a shot of it, and he sent it to me. So thank you, Whip, because you know, it's one of those things where we don't get autographs in our business.
Also,
it's not what we do.
There was no selfies back in those
days. You didn't have cell phone cameras.
There wasn't a, hey, can you take a picture of us quick?
It's
wasn't
unprofessional
that.
To bring, hey, I have my camera here. Let me wind it up and take it. And so the fact that, you know, that's how good Whip is. He takes shots of everything anywhere, and he's
got them all on file.
He's fantastic. And he's like, hey, I was going through, you read anything going through, you know, about that day. I found this. Sent it to me, and it's a prize photo. So,
yep. Well, quickly, my 30-second McIlroy story. The media day here before the 2013 PGA Championship, maybe it was in May or June, because the event would have been in August.
I want to say it was May. It was May.
It was
we played
May.
In May.
Anyway, for those of you that aren't familiar with the course here, the 1 and the 14th holes, in some sense, share a tee box.
Correct.
They're right next to each other. But
the back tee for 1 is also the tee box for 14.
For 14,
for tournaments.
One goes in one direction, one goes in the other way. Anyway, long story short, McIlroy's here because he's the defending champion of the PGA Championship, and he had done a press conference, and then, of course, the media got to go play. So there was a pretty good group following McIlroy here. Some media, but also just members, other fans, things like that. I don't know, a few hundred, I'd say, whatever.
Right.
Watching Roy play the course. Lo and behold, my group and the other media members that I was playing with, we were on 1 as we see this herd coming off 13 green from McIlroy and then over to 14. And then there was some pictures and some interactions, some meetings. Anyway, so we're all watching this, taking it in. And we're like, all right, well, we got a hit. And we say, well, let's watch Rory hit 14 because 14 is the one that's, if you can drive it, if you want to give it a shot, well, Rory can drive it, not me. But
Rory could drive it with a 2-iron.
Right.
Right.
But we all looked at Rory, and Rory said, no, you guys go ahead. You were here first. So it was the most nervous I ever was hitting a golf shot. I'm sitting there on the first hole at Oak Hill, ready to drive. It wasn't even, you know, the few hundred that are following McIlroy are watching, but McIlroy's watching too, and I'm like, all right, just look it. Just don't duff the shot here. I luckily hit it solid. It definitely went a little right, but I hit it solid at least.
Yeah, good contact.
That's all I was open for.
You didn't worm burn it.
That's right. I'm
Rory
like, just
McIlroy.
Please get this ball up and going.
Hey,
so.
And by the way, Jason Ballard, you know, the head golf professionals here, the first segment, did mention their invitational. They're getting ready for that next week.
Yeah.
If somebody has a partner who backed out, Brian or I would be willing to step in.
That's true.
I just said public service for members here at Oak Hill. If
we want the tournament to go on without
any hiccups. They don't have to rearrange flights or whatever, so if that needs to happen.
We can adjust handicaps as need be.
And we're willing to, you know, if I have to drive in every day, no problem.
That's right.
Secondly, we do have an opportunity to play with you and I. In a match, you need a partner. I need a partner. It's a Michelob Ultra golf experience from our friends at Michelob Ultra. You have to tell us why we should pick you as our partner on Twitter, and you have to use hashtag MicUltraGolf. That's M-I-C-H, Ultra Golf. We've had a couple of clever entries in that. Matter of fact, one fella tweeted at Brian that if he and Brian beat me and my partner, that, Brian, you would be his partner at the Lockport Invitational next year.
Now, yeah. I will tell you, if he offered me that, he'd already be my partner. The contest would be over for my partner. But he offered that to you, so I don't know what your decision is with that. So
the contest is still underway.
And
so I didn't want
to. Frankly, I'm mentioning that because I'm trying to entice people to say that's the kind of thing it's going to take. I'm kidding. No, this is what we're going to do. We are going to play a match, Brian and his partner, against me and my partner selection. This will announce the winners next week, so you got another week to get your entry in. Hashtag Mick Ultra Golf. Six holes of best ball, six holes of shamble play, six holes of alternate shot. We'll see how quickly we gel together there through 12 holes of golf. So, man, you get a great prize pack from Michelob Ultra.
All right. Hashtag Mick Ultra Golf.
Hashtag Mick Ultra Golf.
Make sure you use that. All right, time out here from Oak Hill. We're on the patio overlooking the beautiful course. Kevin and I back with more thoughts on Oak Hill, and we'll give you the check of the Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf PGA Tour leaderboard. They're in Akron this week at the Bridgestone Invitational. We'll also get our Champions Tour report. Yes, the same guy won the Senior Open last week that we mention every week. We'll get to that. And some more great stuff here as we are at Oak Hill for another 12 minutes or so here on WGR. We'll be back with more in a moment. Back on Tee to Green, live at Oak Hill here in Rochester. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, thanks for being with us here on WGR. Time for our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and Cobra Puma Golf, where there's a king you'll always find gold. Ask your pro shop for Cobra clubs and Puma gear. Well, this week, the World Golf Championship, Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone Country Club in Akron. Awesome place to go, by the way. For a vacation. I'll explain that in a moment. If you're just looking for a little mini way to get some golf in. Jimmy Walker is your leader. Two-shot lead on Thomas Peters. Walker -7, Peters -5, and some big names at -4. McIlroy, Matsuyama, Zach Johnson are all three off the lead. Jordan Spieth, Jason Day amongst a very large group at -3. Tommy Fleetwood, the lone golfer at -2. You've got Adam Scott, Paul Casey, and Mr. Hole-in-One this week, Hudson Swafford, had a hole-in-one in Akron this week, all at one under par. Some of the other bigger names, Koepka, the U.S. Open champion, is at even. Rose, Fowler, Watson, all at +1. Dustin Johnson, +3. Mickelson and Kuchar are both +3. Rahm, +4. Jason Duffner, the 2013 champion here at Oak Hill, the PGA Championship, is at +4. But Walker right now, actually, who won last year's PGA Championship.
That's correct.
We should bring that up.
It's time of year. He's peaking.
-7. That's right. And so there's your look at the PGA Tour leaderboard. But still, McIlroy being with his new caddy, he's playing well. But Spieth tied for 6th, -3. He's still going to be the buzz going into this weekend.
Yeah, he's gearing up for next week. You know, this is what a great event, great competition for these players for the PGA Championship next week at Quail Hollow in Charlotte.
If you've never been to Hall of Fame weekend in Canton, it's a super cool event. Kevin and I have both been there at various times for covering some of the Bills ones, but it always coincides with this PGA Tour event in Akron. And the course and the Hall of Fame in Canton are about 15 minutes apart.
Yeah.
So the fact that most of the Hall of Fame stuff, the football game, the enshrinement ceremony, they're at night, and you got golf all morning and afternoon. Like, if you're looking for, like, a little mini, like, 2 or 3 day vacation, if you've never done the Hall of Fame and you want to see a PGA Tour event, I think this is a perfect way to do it. It's a little over of a three-hour drive. And Canton, Akron area, it's more affordable than maybe other areas of the country that you would go to for a PGA event. You're not going to California or something like this where it's going to be super pricey. I just think it's great. Also, I'll recommend, as a spectator, Firestone's phenomenal. It's an easy walk. And you get a major championship field without the big crowds that you do at a major championship event because it's the World Golf, so you got the top 50 in the world there, Kev. It's a cool weekend. I know you and I have done that before, but to have both access to both.
Yeah, they moved the Hall of Fame a little later to coincide with that, I think.
Yeah. Well, remember last year the Bridgestone. The Bridgestone, they moved it up because of the Olympics.
That's right.
But normally, these always align.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. Okay, Champions Tour report time. brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook Affordable Adult Assisted Living. The 3M Championship going on at TPC Twin Cities. And we have Mike Goodis and Kenny Perry at the
no
top.
No Bernhard Langer?
No, he's not playing this week. Langer won the Senior Open last week again. We've mentioned Jay Haas here many times. He's one shot off the lead at minus six. And because we're in Rochester, we should mention Jeff Sluman. He's three back.
August 15th goes on the Hill of Fame here. Steph Curry.
Yes,
kudos.
Let's finish with Curry.
Let me tell you something. I hope people recognize how great that was. I don't think most were not expecting him to play well. Most were like, this was a joke that he got a sponsor's exemption. He represented well. 74-74 in a Web.com tour event.
Awesome.
As outstanding. It's outstanding for a professional athlete in another sport to go into that arena and
never had a blow-up pole either.
Right, like, be close.
Yeah.
Right, be close.
Absolutely. Yeah, he never had one of those rounds where you're, or one of those holes where you're like, oh, here's where he looks like
right.
an amateur. Never had it.
No. Yeah. He's a stick. He can play.
No doubt about it. Hey, a little anniversary history here for you. Yesterday was the anniversary of the day, August, what's today? August 5th?
Mm-hmm.
August 4th, 1912, John McDermott wins the United States Open at the Country Club of Buffalo, now Grover Cleveland's course. He played 36 holes on one day, 36 holes on another day. He won for the second time, but for those of you that have played Grover Cleveland, you all know there's that sign, the site of the Open, 1912. McDermott won it. The U.S. Open back then was in August. It was only a two-day event. They played 36 one day, 36 the next day. McDermott won it.
We're looking for McDermott to win in September, October, November, December this year.
That's right.
We don't care about you winning in August.
Great segue there. By the way, what I always love about hearing about that tournament, again, the only time that there was a par 6 in the history of the U.S. Open. There was a par 6.
Interesting.
The course played a little over 6,300 yards,
right.
But one of the holes was a par 6.
Now Grover cool. Cleveland's the place you go to break 80 for the first time.
That's right.
No, it is.
For anybody. Whatever. You want to go break whatever your barrier is, 100, 90, 80, that's the spot to do it. No doubt about it. Well, Kev, it's a shame that we can't talk more about Oak Hill here, but our time is up. But it has been...
You know what I think? I think we need to come back.
Absolutely. Thanks to Jason Ballard, the head golf professional, David Fries, the golf chair, Steve Bartkowski of the Western Air PGA for arranging us to come here today, and, of course, all the staff, that Gene and Max, that
they were great.
Care of us on the way
helpful.
In.
Yep.
No doubt about it. As we sit here on the patio overlooking the first hole and the 18th green of the famous East Course and the West Course just to our other side here. It's a great spot. The 2019 Senior PGA will be back here, and you're going to hear a lot more about the PGA Championship this upcoming week, because it's at Quail Hollow. There's supposedly going to be big news about things we've been speculating about maybe a move in the calendar and how that may affect Oak Hill. We'll hear about that, obviously, maybe in the upcoming days next week.
I'm thinking positive vibes, man.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah,
we know
it's going to work out.
For golf in Western New York, having events like that here is big time. And to showcase the prize.
Listen, this place is a great famed golf course. It's going to work out.
No doubt. All right, Kev, next week we will have the PGA Championship, so we'll talk then.
We'll be in studio next week.
That's right.
It's been like a long time since we've been in studio.
Long time. That's right. So, Joe, thanks for your work back in studio. You may see us next week. For Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Metis, who will be back with us next week, I'm Brian Colziel. Tee to Green, if you want to check it out at any point, on-demand audio, WGR550.com. Also, I'll tweet it out a little bit later, at Brian WGR. Thanks again for everybody here at Oak Hill. Hope you enjoyed the show, and enjoy your weekend. If you're playing, hit them straight right here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.